sound good.
Party. Oh, I'm so excited, Shelly. Hi, Angel.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Hey, Shelly.
Seriously.
Hey, Shelly.
The joy. Brennan, I'm also glad that you're here. I'm sorry. Just, it's been a minute.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry. Hey, man,
I'm always glad, but it is really nice to have another girl on here, too. Ryan.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, Sally.
I've got my Google pulled up. I did wonder, do people see on my computer? Okay, good. We were looking up who owns Hint.
Yeah.
So that's what's on my computer.
Thank you. One of our sponsors.
Literally
nobody who put the essence of fruit and water.
Made $220 million. Anyway, it's fine.
That is my
reason. Let's talk about Jesus.
What can I put in water? What essence can I put in water? Huh?
That is funny. Oh, mercy. Oh, it's good to be with you guys. Good to laugh. It's good to probably cry for me eventually on this episode. So can't wait for that.
No, you've done good this year.
Yeah. Two for two.
By the way, it's okay that you cry.
Very, very tender, which is, you know, a blessing and a curse. But
my tears come in front of all the people on Sunday.
That's always very precious. That. What do you think when you see him like well up with tears? Like,
what is happening?
I mean, it takes me by surprise, but it's very genuine.
Yeah.
Genuine, yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's all. It really is. It's always.
I enjoy it.
I love seeing Ryan cry.
I do.
It is. It really. It's so endearing. It's like, oh, this is like really from his heart. I would rather. Yeah. I would want to see that all day long. I think that's great.
Yeah. I mean, we're not people that can just manufacture things.
Yeah.
We're just real. So yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's do story time. This past Sunday was great. I feel like it's just been a great week in general. Shelly, first, I want you to go first, whether it's stories or just the main thing that, like, Park was in here and he got to talk a little bit about discipleship, but you guys really tag team a lot and you are over all the lady stuff, and lady stuff is booming. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got a lot of groups, a lot of ladies doing a lot of things. So I want to hear just what it's been like for you so far this semester, getting all that up and rolling.
Yeah, good start. We have 17 ladies-only groups.
That's amazing.
So will that deserve a clap?
Yay! Can't clap for Shelly.
yeah, they are rolling, and I feel like we've got really a great group of ladies leaders. I'm in the thick of planning for the retreat.
Yay!
Which is less than a month.
Well.
Oh, it's like almost a month.
The 23rd.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so
yay.
It's crazy. We're already in, almost done with September.
I know.
Yeah. 1 month from today, we will be in Lake June, Alaska.
So exciting.
So definitely excited about that. Between two trees is the theme. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Which is a fire theme.
Isn't it?
I'm excited to see where you go with that. Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, what makes me excited is Shelly will actually, the next time she's on, it will be the week after the ladies retreat, which is something I've wanted to do so that she can share you know what she taught on and kind of what we learned that weekend. So I'm excited.
Tell me, is that to do with Genesis between the two trees?
I'm assuming Genesis to Revelation.
The bookend trees.
Yes.
So the curse of the first tree in Genesis and obviously the final tree in Revelation.
That's a good book title.
That's good.
You're jealous.
I'm not going front. It'd be fun to be there.
Tying in a central middle tree. Mm-hmm. The cross.
Ooh.
And
Shelly,
how you are to live in light of the final tree.
Yeah.
My God.
I know.
Come on.
My God, too.
Pour one out.
That's exciting. I'm so excited.
Awesome.
I am. I've got a great skeleton. It does just take me some time to iron it all out.
That's the whole Bible, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, you're not going to be able to do that, but.
Yeah. And it's multiple messages. Yeah. So, I want everything to be well said, but I wanted to make sure it makes sense, not just in my head, but, you know, as I'm saying it, I always love for the theme to look like just this beautiful bow, a thread from Genesis to Revelation, how we tie the Old Testament to the New Testament. And that's really what I want to do with the trees. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it.
But
could use some prayer on ironing that out.
You got it. We're praying for you.
That's exciting.
Yeah,
130. Awesome. We're taking 130, which is a lot more than we've typically taken to Lake June, Alaska. So very excited about that.
Yeah, that got
full band.
Got booked out. Yes. Oh, it's so exciting. Yeah. It really does almost, like, I know it's something that we've done, but for whatever reason, I feel like this retreat does feel like a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to go last year. Last year was in the midst of all the hurricane. And so that was wild. And we pivoted and had a great, in-house retreat. But it feels like, yes, we're returning to the same place, but it feels like a new thing. So I'm excited.
It does. I'm excited to have Alex go.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, be an anchor point for the band.
Yeah.
And it'll seem more polished, I feel like. So just, it'll be good.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
Can't wait.
Wow. Yeah.
Amen. Well, good. Any other story time?
Oh, okay. Can't wait. Okay.
No, he's going to be here with the boys.
Yeah. We have some fun too, though.
Yeah, doing all kinds of baseball stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, yeah. He's going
to
be.
We always find our way to the bowling alley.
Really?
That's fun.
You were not going to have time to go bowling that weekend.
Okay. Have you heard of midnight bowling?
All right.
Jude, I'm sure he'd love that.
I don't have to go to bed at 6:56 so I can stay up.
Oh, dear, guys.
I had to work it in the air. You know,
this is beyond my
scope. What are we going to talk about now? Where's Greg's rolling his eyes?
Oh, my gosh. You are well rested.
Yeah, trust me. I'm away. This year.
Oh, Lord.
What's your story?
It's goals for me. Just
That's sweet.
No, that's too funny. I thought Sunday morning was a blessing. I know you wanted to mention something about the youth, but I just thought, man, from the musical worship to the preaching of his word, it's just an all around beautiful Sunday. But this whole
can I interrupt you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Just to say, I also loved your opening. Mm. And it just meant even just you bringing in what you're studying with your guys, just about the private place matching the public place. And this is probably too much information, but the night before Brandon and I had watched the show, and there was something to do with like this empty can, and it was like in a pressurized situation, and it just kind of imploded. It was like this visual where you had talked about when the private place doesn't match the public place, that an implosion can happen. And it was just very, to have that visual, like just watching that show the night before, where all of a sudden, because that can was in a pressurized situation, it was like, and it like deformed, you know, like just totally crumpled in on itself. And that really added weight to what you're filling yourself with. And it was an empty can, then it just totally imploded. So what you're filling yourself with in the, so that when the pressures of life happen, and they do, that we don't totally, you know, implode or like crush in on ourselves, you know, that we actually have substance within us that fortifies us, makes us strong or whatever. Anyway, that was a great way to open the service. So all around, it was a great service.
Well, I appreciate your encouragement. It was so funny about that, because I was second guessing a lot.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, why?
I was too, that morning. That's
like,
funny.
Opening with this, I'm like, with all the events that's happening in our country and stuff, and just even some of our songs that we're going to be singing, I was like, I don't know if that's, but I just kept led. And then the verse of the morning, I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, okay,
that's
God,
so
I'm
awesome.
Trust you with this. So I appreciate that encouragement.
Perfect.
Seriously, because I second guessed the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
There was something off on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it. We prayed about it backstage, because during pastoral prayer, there's, I don't know what it was, but I told y'all, I was like, there's a disconnect, there's a heaviness. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's not I don't think it's because of the events of the past couple of weeks. I think it was just, I think one, the Lord, I mean, the enemy knew, but also the Lord knew that something's going to break through here.
Yeah.
But also it was just a heaviness. So, but when you said that too, when you were like, something's off with me, and then I felt it, my mind was just not clear, like kind of cloudy of what I want to do. So you could just feel it in the room. But the Lord definitely worked.
I think so too. I think so. So for me, I feel like, you know, last week I was probably in the news too, not even in the news. I think I was in the comment sections too much, like just looking at people's comments. And after everything that had happened, you know, we talked about Charlie Kirk last week, but after everything had happened, I think I just kept looking to the comment section to be like, okay, every time, like if I open these comments, there'll be the Christians, like the Christians will be there.
Yeah.
And it was the exact opposite. It was people who honestly hate Christians, and some of the worst things being said about Christians or people who profess faith.
Mm.
And that kind of became my world last week. Like it was too much, you know, when you feel like it's too, like, so my goal this week was just stay off social media.
Yeah.
Don't even be in it. But I think I came to church and I think this is what the Lord, I think, allows and will do. I came to church just wanting to be like, okay, well, here I'm with my people. In the comment section, it's not my people. It's like, they hate me. According to their comments, they hate everything that I believe and stand for and live for. So let me be with my people. And I think in these times of like just chaos and a lot of Christian hate and things like that, it will force you to come face to face with what you believe. And do I shrink back because these people hate me? So like, do I just shrink back into my corner and just like whatever? Or do I go deeper? Do I go further? Do I worship? Like, do I have more faith? Do I like whatever I can produce on my own or just with the help of the Holy Spirit? Do I go in? And so I feel like maybe other people are in that place of like, I'm hearing a lot of hate. I'm hearing a lot of hateful things. And it will make you want to shrink back because I think at our core, we don't want to hurt people. And we don't want to be offensive to people, but we do carry a truth. And that requires some friction sometimes. But so I think not because I want to shrink back. It's not that I don't want to be bold in my faith, but also I'm hearing what people say about Christians and I don't want to be perceived that way. So it's this like caught in the middle sometimes.
That's processing. Events affect people differently.
Yes.
Right. And so that, and again, maybe that is what we felt on Sunday.
That's
people
so
are still
true.
Processing and trying to figure out.
Absolutely.
Well, what do we do now? And I think people are searching for a goodness, a light.
Yes. You know,
trying to be cliche there. Because I think a lot of people saw the comments and from all perspectives, whether they're watching the news or on social media.
Yes.
So people are searching for it somewhere, but
that's so
when
true.
You're that stuff, we consume more than scripture for a lot of people. And so that carries with you.
Yes.
So that's what I think we felt on Sunday. But so now, like you're saying, okay, so what do you do? Like what is the role? You could stay still, you could shrink back, or you can move forward.
Yeah.
That was our goal. And hey, we have an inheritance.
Yeah.
So we have something to look forward to.
Yes.
Now you work towards the prize that is waiting for you.
And you felt the, why am I doing this? Why, whatever. Second service, I had that exact moment because I saw the students, not just like, I see them every week worshiping. They're on their faces. I see that every week. It's always powerful. It's always beautiful. This week felt a little different, and it sounds so stupid, but I had like looked down during prayer at one point and I just saw, like, again, I keep talking about my gray hair, but I saw it and it really strikes me. I'm not the kid in the room anymore.
Yeah.
And we kind of talked about it the first episode. Like, so these kids who are doing this, they've gathered together. They're coming up. Who's living in the comment section? Liam said it last week. They're living in the social media world. So they're seeing the hate. And the reality is, I'm standing on shoulders of people who had faith before me, and they had very strong faith. And sometimes when my faith isn't enough, I think of the people who taught me the Bible and who instilled in me faith, you know, and gave that gift to me. And I think now these kids are going to stand on my shoulders. And do I crumble? Am I crumbling? Am I, because I'm in the comments or because I'm seeing all the hate in the world, am I shrinking back? And then they don't get to stand on my shoulders either. Like, so when we sing songs about generations and generations, I'm like, I want to be, I want to be strong. I want to be faithful. I don't want to implode and like crumble in when the pressure of people hating Christians gets to me. So I need to be fortified in my faith and what I really believe in. And, you know, these are all big ideas and things that we want to be. But the thing that I feel the still small voice of the Lord saying to me is, not that I just need to be strong. It's not more faith. It's not that. It's get to know me. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the voice of Jesus that I hear in my life is stop messing around. Mm-hmm. It's not about the legalistic, did you do your quiet time check? Do you know me? Get to know me. Mm-hmm. And that's where we become strengthened. That's where our faith grows. And so anyway, I had that same thing. I thought that was probably the dumbest thing I could have said, but I do think it gave way to a beautiful moment. I love that you, I don't have a better word, like capitalized on that. Didn't let it pass, like, no, we pray for these young people and it helps us take it seriously. It's like, we're, you know, for anybody, I guess my age or up, like we're not the kids anymore. We can't have some like mentorship. Yes, that's not what I'm talking about. But it's like we now have to be passing it on. They're going
to
be in a harder
to their lives now.
We think it's hard now. It will only get harder to be a Christian.
You know what I loved on Sunday too, though, is like when we did pray over them, we called adults for it, parents and adults. But there was like no hesitation.
I love that.
And we had, I'm rounding about probably 30 kids.
Yeah.
And when I say kids, it's middle school, high school, and young adults, a mixture of them.
Yeah.
But anyway, we had more than enough adults immediately come down. Because all I said was, I want to try to get a hand on every single one of these and just pray over them.
Yeah.
But there was no hesitation. So there it is. Credit to our congregation understanding what we were doing and saying this is needed.
Well, and so a testimony that came out of that, Brandon told me this. So Sunday he prayed for somebody he didn't know. It was a student, prayed for somebody he didn't know. And he went to the gym on Monday, ran into one of the guys that goes here. And he was like, "Do you know who you prayed for yesterday?" And he was like, "No, I never met him." And he was like, he, you know, told him about his age, 14, 15. He was like, his parents, I'm not going to say like a political side or anything. It's basically just anti-Christian ideologies. They're very heavy in those beliefs and those ways of thinking. So literally for this 14, 15 year old, his home is that place, you know? Wow. And so that was, he got strengthened, fortified, prayed for. So I was like, that was a cool story to hear from that moment too. No clue what he would face, you know, nothing bad, but just like ideologies that are against what he's actively engaging in at church that morning. What are the comments he goes home to? Relatable for me. So it was necessary.
Some of these, we got some strong young men and women here. I do see the Lord calling some of these students.
That was amazing.
And I don't want to put anything on that because it's not like I have a clarity of exactly who, but I do feel like the Lord is going to move some of our young people into ministry at some point. You can see it happening.
I agree.
You
know? And I think it's great that, you know, we have to go ahead and acknowledge that. Would I be where I am if people hadn't said, you got this in you. Absolutely. You could do this.
That's so by the word anointing. I just kept thinking like, Lord, if they are anointed, help them see it clearly.
Yeah.
But, and then this is the preparation for them.
So good. Amen. Yeah. So it was great. It was a great Sunday. Any other stories?
I was just saying, it also too, with all that being said, it just, again, makes me grateful for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not grateful for the body of Christ every Sunday, but then there's just certain Sundays where I feel like it's highlighted.
Yeah.
You know, even more maybe because of some of the events and whatnot. And as you said, man, some of the comments, I didn't, you know, go down a rabbit hole or anything like that. But some of the comments I did see were just nasty and vile. Even, you know, over some of the stuff over Charlie Kirk's funeral. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of how one felt about Charlie Kirk, whatever, I will say, I think where he stood with his faith was solid. Yeah. There's nothing I disagree with, you know, as he proclaimed Christ. I think he has a wonderful testimony. Mm-hmm. And even some of the stuff that was said about that was just, wow, it just blew my mind, which again made me even more grateful for the body of Christ. So it's like, yes, we need to be praying for these individuals who don't know Christ, but it also made me grateful for the body of Christ, this fellowship and community.
Oh, I crave Sunday.
We have with one another. Yeah. Yes, because it's a building up of our faith. It's an encouraging of one another.
Yeah.
It's where we get to edify the saints and you know, iron sharpened iron kind of thing. It's all, the body of Christ is just beautiful. Yeah. In difficult times. But one thing I will say too, you know, there might be some things where it's like, oh, that wasn't, you know, accurate in this way or maybe politicizing some things or whatever. But you definitely saw where the gospel was presented. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And some people stood to pray to receive Christ and then given a link to get involved in a biblical community, a solid church. I was like, man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
This is being done at somebody's funeral where a lot of people may have never heard the gospel. Some of the songs that we sang literally here on Sunday morning were some of the same songs that were sung as funeral and that highly lift up the name of Jesus. I think that's phenomenal. You got people, you know, singing these things that maybe have never heard it, you know, before.
Yeah.
But also, too, I thought Erica publicly forgiving that young man was a beautiful display of what Christ-likeness is all about.
Yeah.
And it showed it before the world. I thought that was beautiful because when initially you see some of these things and some of these comments, and again, whether a person disagrees or agrees, some of the hate and the vileness to those words makes you initially angry, you know, just like, this is nasty.
Yeah.
But then also too, remembering like, man, just as Jesus did, you know, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. She publicly displayed that. And I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I'm praying and hoping, you know, maybe there's an opportunity. I think, and I could be wrong, Ryan, but I feel like you mentioned on the podcast last week about praying for that young man.
Yeah.
I've been praying for him. Obviously, we're praying for the Kirk family and others as well. Praying for him to come to know Christ. And how beautiful would it be if maybe she even gets the opportunity to get to talk to him when she, if she's able to share the gospel. She's forgiven him. I mean, who knows what the Lord could do there? And in a, I know this might sound strange, but if Charlie one day met Tyler, but in heaven, a different man, you know what I mean? And in the new heaven, the new earth, this one who converted to Christ.
That's a powerful picture.
You know what I mean? Wow. Like, and for Charlie, it's nothing. Yeah. It's like, man, I'm crazy presence right now.
They would celebrate together.
Like, it would not be a thing then.
Yeah, right. That's what's crazy. We were trying to explain. Levi was asking us a bunch of heavenly aimed questions on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't, you know, like a mind of a 10-year-old, just like, what about this? What, are we going to play baseball? What do you mean? Like, there's no sin. There's no mourning. Mm-hmm. Like, are we just going to be happy with everybody? And it's like, man, we can't, right? We're so trained to not be able to understand what it means to have no jealousy, no anger, no need to forgive anybody. Yeah. I mean, it's already been done. We're just here to celebrate. Goodness. No competition between anything. It's
exactly.
Love and peace. Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful picture that'd be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't mean to veer off, but when people see tragedy or things like that, and it's like, well, how's there a good God when this kind of thing happens? And it's like, well, he's the only one who actually prepared a place where there is no suffering. So what do you do with suffering? Like, well, he prepared the place and then made a way for us to go.
Yeah.
He's just waiting for you to accept that invitation to go to a place with no, where there is no evil. Mm-hmm. Evil here because people's in his sovereignty, that he gave us free will and choice, and people can choose to do evil things. But in that place, he prepared that place to end suffering. Mm-hmm. And you get to go.
And the beauty is too, though, there's still free will in heaven. There's just nothing that will tempt you to do the evil that is here. Like, free will doesn't go away just because you're in heaven. You just have now a desire.
Yeah.
Because, like we talked about, because you see and understand on a much deeper level than you understand
as
soon
as you
know. That's crazy. Thing
it is. Thanks for sharing all that. Yeah, I think it was a powerful thing. I mean, honestly, in our country, the fact that so many people were exposed to the gospel on such a stage, like that was, you know, God turning a really horrible thing into something really beautiful and eternity changing for people.
For a believer, I mean, there's two ways to look at it too. I mean, these things that we're seeing, even in the comments, even in the actions, I mean, it's proof of a spiritual world. Like demonic things, demonic beings, Satan, they celebrate things that are opposite of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So they celebrate death because he is life. They celebrate, you know, things that tear apart the family because he wants to instill a family. So all the comments you're seeing from people who are celebrating death, I hate to say this, they're demonically oppressed. Mm. And that's evidence that everything, if that's real, then that must mean scripture's real because it talks about those things.
Yeah.
So as a believer, like you can still find an assurance of faith even in those crazy things because it's proof that what the Bible talks about is real. So if there's evil, there's good.
Yeah.
You can't just believe one.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right. So, so if demons exist, that must mean angels.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if demons exist, I mean, Satan must exist.
Mm, yeah.
And that must mean that he was thrown out of a place. Uh-oh. He was thrown out of heaven.
Yeah.
I'm screwed by God.
Literally. Yeah.
Come on.
All it takes is for somebody to just start pulling that thread.
Yeah.
I mean, just a little bit, and you can start to see it all, you know, kind of pulled apart.
But you can hear it, but you still got to believe it.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I feel it. I see people talking about it. Oh, today the rapture is supposed to happen.
Yeah. I'll mention it. Yeah. So,
as soon as it hit the end button.
So,
well,
he wants us to get this podcast.
Yeah.
Well, then we need to go to Mr. Tokyo real quick.
Yeah.
It's going to be,
What would be your last meal before the rapture?
It probably would be Mr. Tokyo, honestly.
It would be Mr. Tokyo. What would it be? Yeah.
Or anything that Liz Quintana makes. Anything that could be my last meal.
Yeah.
Or anything Shelly makes. Moving on, quickly. No,
that would be hilarious, but that would not seem funny.
It would be your ultimate
death. I'm so not kidding. Okay.
We don't need
I would really see Jesus. Yeah. I'm so not kidding.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll get it after this.
Would you get Mr. Tokyo?
I wouldn't go Mr. Tokyo.
That was your last meal?
I said I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You wouldn't? What would yours be then?
I'm a variety guy. I would do like multiple things.
Oh, you want one thing from everywhere.
No. I'd get like...
Golden things
Corral.
That Golden
Corral.
Just Golden Corral. Like,
that's how it shows how
give me a couple tacos. Give me like a cheeseburger. Maybe a chicken wing or two.
You just so want a taste of everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Where would you go? No, truly. Maybe like a Mr. Tokyo. I need like the shrimp sauce to be involved somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'd throw some lo mein in my mixture.
Yeah. Okay.
Some, you know, everything.
What would yours be?
Some kind of breakfast.
Oh, okay. I do like
yeah, biscuit belly on steroids.
Ooh. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Cracker Barrel.
This is tough.
Mm.
I feel like, but
something
I feel
bougier
like,
than that.
Yeah, I get that.
Like a good biscuit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's a good point.
Okay. No, Brennan has to go. I want to see him squirm.
I really think it depends on the day.
Yeah.
I agree. If I just had burgers the day before, but if I hadn't burgers in a while, I'm doing like Five Guys or something.
That's what I'm going to go. Five Guys is what I was thinking.
Really? Yeah. That's your peak burger?
Well, actually, maybe Bad Daddy's. But
I've been there.
Yes, yeah, Bad Daddy's is good.
We've been to the one in Greenville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If it's burgers, it's going to be Bad Daddy's. If I feel like breakfast, it's going to be something either from Famous Toastery or IHOP.
Okay.
Oh, I do.
But if I'm feeling like Japanese or something, it's definitely Mr. Tokyo. That would be my last.
Huh.
Because you're going to get a good. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get that. Well, what I was going to say.
Sorry.
I'm glad I could put a question
in
there.
I was going to talk about Revival. No, I'm just kidding. Oh. I mean, I really was. But I like a little detour. And I'd mine would probably be something breakfast related. Anyway, all I was going to say was I feel like things like this do what they do when there is, I know there's a debate over like martyrdom or whatever of Charlie Kirk. I view him as a martyr. I believe he was killed for his thoughts, ideologies that are rooted in his faith in Jesus and the Bible. And so I see it that way, but, I think it does what it does. And I do feel we feel those, it's like rumblings of revival. Mm-hmm. But one of the things right now we're talking about was like the revival though, it's not going to be maybe podcasts or tools and stuff like that for it, but it's really going to happen in homes. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be lowly and it's going to be humble because everyone is now shouting into the void of social media and nobody's hearing each other. Everyone's yelling to yell. Nobody's reading comments and being like, that changes my mind about things, you know? Yeah, I think it will be lowly and it will be, I don't hate it. There's no hate in my heart for anyone. And anyone's welcome into my home to have heavenly conversations, to talk about who God is. And, you know, I think that that's what it will look like. I feel that in my own life. I feel like, you know, and just in, when you look at the big picture and things look crazy in the world, you're like, well, how do I even, like, we talk about all the time, do for the one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that concept because it, when things feel so big, it's like, well, I just want somebody to know like that, like who Jesus really is without all of the yelling and the heightened emotions. I want like a meal and where we just get to talk. And so I think that's what a lot of revival is going
to
look like.
Revival doesn't have to be a mass gathering. Revival is just an awakening of the soul.
And I think
you can see that even someone like Elon Musk was putting on his thing like that. Was an act, I forget exactly what he said, but he was killed because in a dark place, he was trying to be a light. Mm-hmm. And so it's clicking even in his mind.
Yeah.
Or everybody. You can go through the list of people who are being exposed, like you just said, being exposed to the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's a revival.
Yeah.
But there has to be a human responsibility to that too.
Yeah. I mean, it makes me want to be a better Christian I want my kids to see a right example, but I want my friends and neighbors and people that don't know Jesus, they need to see, they don't need to see a keyboard warrior. They need somebody who is living out the gospel, who really believes in what this is. And I mean, we're going to go through it in Matthew. Like when you talk about the Sermon on the Mount, this is for how the kingdom is supposed to be. And it's lowly.
Yeah.
It's lowly and it's forgiving and it's gracious and it's, there's power behind it. It's not, it's meekness, but not like powerlessness,
arrogance,
you know? Yeah. So anyway, we will go through it, but
all right.
Those were some of my thoughts, but yeah, I mean, it's been a great week. It was a great Sunday. I look forward to what the Lord will continue to do.
Amen.
Well, we're in Matthew 2. I really enjoyed our conversation last week, getting into just talking about the genealogy.
You know what, Sally? I did too.
I really enjoyed it.
I got to say this. One more celebration. I just got an email reminding me. We have baptism coming up October 11th, October 12th. We have 40 people registered for baptism.
Is it 40 now? That's great.
40.
Wow.
Now,
it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, probably be more. Now, we do like to say, like, we don't want you to come on that day and be like, you're not 40 people, you're only 20. Because sometimes...
Well, there's split between services.
But at the same time, 40 people signed up to be baptized.
I don't know if we've ever had.
Yeah.
At least since I've been here, that many people have signed up to be baptized.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
This is just a warning for people who go to New River. You might have to like stand in the aisle or something.
I can just tell you that service is going to be different than our normal services.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a service of celebration and worship.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We got 40 registered. Normally it ends up being about 30. It'll probably be about 30, 32 that will get baptized.
Yeah.
Still, that's
wild.
Yeah. And some of these stories of these individuals of how they came to know Christ or what the Lord was doing in their life recently to bring them to this point is pretty amazing. So it's just like,
you do get to hear a lot of good stories.
And the last time we baptized was July 29th. So it's only a couple months.
Talk about a revival. Seriously. Yeah. That's it.
The Lord is.
That's fruit.
Look at you.
The Lord is doing
it.
What an awakening.
You guys have a.
We do.
A son. That's a sweet little connection.
Levi is going to be baptized
on my sister's birthday.
That is so precious.
Yes, so Holly will be here.
Yay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, special. Oh, it's going to be amazing. So, yeah, I'm glad you shared that.
Thank you, Sally.
I guess if you want to get baptized, get signed up.
Jump in. Yeah. Like I said, we're already changed on the service.
Yeah.
Because we were talking like, don't freak out like that. No, really.
We all share it together. Shelly helps with the ladies. Thank you, Shelly, so much. Seriously. Walk with the ladies, me, Park, Liam, talk with some of the other men that want to be baptized or children as well. So
always,
it's a team effort. Yeah. I thank God.
Yeah,
we honestly had a conversation. Do we cut baptism off?
Mm.
Like, cut the amount of people that can be baptized this Sunday.
Yeah.
Or that Sunday. And we're like, might as well just go for it.
Not out of like meanness, but we want to counsel
time.
Them.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. We want to make sure we care for the soul.
We want to know your story.
Yeah.
Yes. Are you ready? Do you know what decision you're making?
Yeah.
You know.
And not to make this podcast about baptism, but there are times where we have told people, hey, we feel like maybe just wait a little longer till there's some more understanding.
Yeah.
I think that's so wise and so healthy for, you know, a person's
especially
soul. Yeah.
Some children. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we just want to make sure that we're caring for them. But I think we did say like by October 5th.
Yeah.
If we haven't had that conversation or people haven't filled other stuff, we can't because. Yeah.
Time.
There's also some of the other staff,
which means you need to turn your paperwork and stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So it's a
paperwork.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, yay. Yay, baptism.
Yay.
Not for baptism. Okay. So we're in Matthew chapter 2. Vernon, you're going to kind of lead us through this conversation, but we've all brought different thoughts and just things that the Lord has kind of shown us in this passage too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass it over.
Okay. So real quick, before we dive into Matthew 2, I just have to, because I know Ryan loves giving interesting facts. I'd like to just give an interesting fact, something that I learned a while back as well. You know, you guys may have touched on it some last week. I'm not sure. But just referring to some of the genealogies. And then I'll just give a little personal note from Matthew 1:21.
Love that.
Which is personal, but also affects us all.
Yeah.
So, in Matthew 1, obviously, we have the book of Matthew written by Matthew, formerly known as Levi, or also known as Levi. He was a tax collector before Christ changed his life. Mm-hmm. I know you shared some of this last week. But the book of Matthew, written primarily to a Jewish audience.
Yes.
Now, it's really cool because Luke's genealogy, if you look at Luke chapter 3, the genealogy is a little different. Some similarities, but some differences. But it's kind of interesting to know the why of the differences, right? So Matthew, he's writing primarily to a Jewish audience. Mm-hmm. And if we look at Matthew 1, he starts off with Abraham, right? Abraham and David.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham is known to be, right, like the superhero of the Jewish nation, right? The Jewish faith, the initiator of the Jewish faith, the one who God made the covenant with. So it's beautiful that Matthew is kind of establishing some rapport with his Jewish audience, kind of setting ground and footwork so that he can actually point them to the one who is the Messiah, right? And who has Jewish descent, Jesus Christ. So I love how he's personally being tactful about how he goes about writing this to them. But then when you look at Luke 3, I'm just going to go ahead and turn there. Luke chapter 3. Luke does not start his genealogy with Abraham. Luke is actually writing to Theophilus, which many believe to be a Gentile. And a lot of the audience that would read this would be Gentile individuals. But he starts off as he began his ministry, Jesus was about 30 years old and was thought to be the son of Joseph. Mm-hmm. son of Heli, right? And then he goes on, but then he goes all the way back. Mm-hmm. And you see David is in that line, right? And then he goes all the way back to the son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam. And then even before Adam, son of God, mm-hmm. which I think it's really cool. So Matthew was pointing out that Jesus is this long-awaited Messiah who was over the Jews. But also Luke is pointing out that Jesus is this individual who is over all of humanity, mm-hmm. not just the Jews, but all of humanity. So I just mm-hmm. thought that was really cool. It shows his preeminence mm-hmm. from Luke's side, but it also shows the fulfilled prophecy from Matthew's side,
yes.
specifically to the Jewish nation. I thought that.
That's yeah. beautiful.
Yes, it's really neat, yeah. you know? So amazing. Anyway, just had to point that out. But then yeah. Matthew 1:21 says, yes. and you shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That mm-hmm. verse for me has always stuck out. Obviously, one, because we are a part of that. Mm-hmm. We are part of his people because mm-hmm. as individuals who have professed faith in Christ, who have been washed clean by the blood of Christ, we are a part of that terminology that we have been his people. We have been saved from our sins, but also too that his mission is literally wrapped up in his name. Literally means savior, or Jeshua, meaning the Lord is salvation, the ties there. So I just find that really interesting and really neat that in Jesus's name, Yeshua's name, his mission is found there and he accomplished that mission. And we're a part of that, right?
That's so good. Yeah.
Yes. So
thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So Matthew chapter 2. Now, some of the stuff we're going to see in Matthew 2, some of the key highlights, really going to see some stuff with the wise men, mm-hmm. stuff with King Herod, and Jesus's birth, or more so, actually, he was a toddler by the time the Magi found him. But we're going to read starting in verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says mm-hmm. this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So before I go on a little further, let's just give a little context, a little bit more background about who King Herod was mm-hmm. and the Magi was. So King Herod, known as King Herod the Great, was the appointed by the Romans to be the ruler of Judea. Mm-hmm. Now, we've probably talked about this on the podcast probably other times before, I'm going to say, when it refers to Herod. But he was known as a tyrant, unruly ruler, had a lot of wealth, but also was very jealous and very insecure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So much so, according to history, they believe that he murdered some of his own family mm-hmm. that he felt like may have been trying to take his throne. And so I think there's even some thoughts out there where when he died, he intentionally had other people die as well on his death or around his death so that because they knew he wouldn't mourn his death. Mm-hmm. Right. So he wanted there to be mourning. Yeah. I mean, it's sick. Yeah. Some sick stuff. So yeah, go
ahead. My study Bible says he was ruthless, murdering one of his wives, three of his sons, his mother-in-law, brother-in-law, an uncle, many others whom he suspected of threatening his world.
Ah, Lord.
See, like, that was the thing,
something.
That his own sons, so that they couldn't come for his throne
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Wow.
And thousands of babies.
Yeah, right. and thousands of babies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. So, needless to say, he was a ruthless man. Yeah. All right. And then we get to the Magi, or the wise men, which a lot of times we talk about this around Christmas time. But it is interesting to see how they respond to Jesus when they finally meet him. Mm-hmm. So these are individuals from the East. A lot of theologians believe from maybe Persia. They believe they may be magicians or astrologers, mm-hmm. Astrologists, and that they knew the Hebrew scriptures pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so that's why they came mm-hmm. to seek out. Yeah,
These practical things that we don't think about because we just read it quickly. Oh, they knew that Jesus was coming. No, they had to really know.
Exactly.
There's not a big announcement. It's like, Jesus is here now.
Yeah.
Those kind of, I mean, for some people, obviously, like who were visited by angels, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, that's what's, they had to be on the lookout and know, because at that point they would have had the Old Testament. So knowing what this would look like and looking out for it. And the one pastor I was listening to talk about this was just kind of maybe just speculating what would the star have been, and would it have actually been something that they had seen all the time, or would it have been just a something that God did specifically for Jesus coming? I don't know, just the way he described it was like interrupting the cosmos, like showing his power, his glory. Like, was it just glory that they saw that now Jesus is in the earth? And so anyway, it was kind of interesting to think about that.
Fun fact too, like the wise men here, that word that you said, Magi, it can mean multiple things. Yeah. So this one specifically is watcher of the stars. Mm-hmm. So they knew what the solar system looked like. Mm-hmm. And so when you see this, like you're saying, the glory of the Lord, or a scepter coming up and something meeting it, they knew, okay, this is something we need, but also having the scriptures, it's like, let's go to it.
He did talk about, there was an event that happened. I can't remember. There was a lining of some planet.
Yeah, this is a supernatural event. The other thing is this, like, stars, like we rotate.
Yeah.
So if you put something on a star and keep it still, it'll be out of camera frame eventually. This one never moved.
That was it. And another part that I was listening to, and I fumbled through it, like he was so much more articulate than I was, but the way that they had to travel was south, and stars don't move north to south. Mm-hmm. So there was a supernatural thing that God was doing to lead them to where Jesus was, because they move east west. Mm-hmm. And so the way that they were traveling, it just, when you pull back just a little bit from just reading over the scriptures, it is crazy to think about God. This was a supernatural event that God was that God was making happen to lead people to his son, his promised son.
It's also prophesied about that this star would actually come.
Yeah. So they had to know.
Yeah.
They had to know that. And that's a practical application for us. We have prophecies that have not come to fulfillment yet. Do we know our word? Do we know it? And will we know when things are happening?
Well, you know the prophecy, so you're without excuse. So you better start paying attention.
Yeah.
We're going to be raptured today.
That's good.
Exactly. And if you knew your word,
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that more at the end. But it is crazy to think, like, if these prophecies were fulfilled, which they were, then the ones to come, that means it's going to happen.
Yes.
Not might, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, right.
And that, you know, for someone who doesn't know Christ, that puts a fear, you know, for them. That gives us the energy, or it should fuel us to want people to know Christ.
Yes.
But also, too, in another sense, it's like, wow, no, this is like really going to happen. When you talk about revelation, like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
That's scary and both beautiful at the same time. And so, yeah, Ron, like you said, repent, know Christ, know your word. Like, this is serious stuff. But also, too, when you mentioned glory, it's interesting how there was one individual who give the thought of kind of like the Shekinah glory.
Yes.
How the cloud, you know, led the Moses and the Israelites by day and by night in the cloud of fire. Yeah. Same way as the star so leading to Jesus.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, I think in themes. Mm-hmm. And so you can't move on from the star without thinking of all the times, particularly in John's gospel, that Jesus is the light. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if the pillar of fire led them by day, this pillar of fire in the sky is also leading them to the Christ child New Testament terms.
Yes.
But the other thing I was going to say is, you know, if the synoptic gospels have different points of view. So in the same way, if we were to witness a car wreck, if a police officer asks us each of our accounts, we all have a different eyewitness view. That's why it's so cool to hear, like, even in the genealogy, Matthew says something totally different than Luke. Mm-hmm. But in Luke and in John, the amount of times that the word light is in John, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And so, you are following the light. Mm-hmm. This is a city on a hill. Mm-hmm. This is the pillar of fire. This is the light, the star of Bethlehem. Yeah. You know, this is his glory, literally in human form. Yeah. So I just think that's cool.
I know.
Everything always does.
That's awesome. That's why it's the word of God. Yeah. That's why you'll never come to an end of all the things. Yeah. And those are things we know.
Yes.
Right.
Well, with that thought too, like you just mentioned, this is written to a Jewish audience, mm-hmm. but what Matthew was trying to get them to understand is that Christ is the one we've been waiting
for. Right.
But even in Bethlehem of Judea is pointing to a prophecy, right, from the Old Testament. Yeah, well, it's in there, verse 6. Yeah. It's a prophecy.
Yep.
But there's two, there's multiple Bethlehem. So we had to say Bethlehem of Judea so that people understood this is the one that was coming after David, who was born in Bethlehem. And that's what verse 6 is. It's a prophecy from Micah.
My goodness. Yeah. Yes, sir.
So all these little details. And this is the point of Matthew. He's like, okay, remember, this is the account of the Messiah that you've waited for since you were born.
Right.
Don't miss it. And it's through all these things. And yet people still miss it.
That, man.
And last week, Brandon, I know you weren't on this one, but the reason I bring that up is there are so many things in the lineage, but also in things that is said, all generation. I mean, all of it points to it's the king that came from the throne of David.
Yes, right. Exactly.
So he continues on with that theme in the opening verse of verse 2.
My goodness.
Just cool how you
My Lord. Yeah.
A root of Jesse, which will be a part of the between two trees.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's so good.
The stump of Jesse.
That's good. That is so good.
Can't make stuff up, man.
Oh, that's the tree.
Hello. Golly.
The Bible, bro.
The Word of God is living.
Yeah. I like that. I feel like that's one of the things I'm taking away is that just that they knew what to be on the lookout for. They knew, okay, well, if they didn't know, then what's this star even leading them to? Yeah, so if they didn't really know what to expect. And that, I just feel like that knowing that there are prophecies that will be fulfilled, like they will come to fulfillment. Maybe we talked about on the podcast last week, or maybe I was just saying it to Ryan, like when we were studying Revelation, it was funny because I kept seeing this like meme go around. I was like, we're studying Revelation. I guess other people are studying it right now too. But I kept seeing it go around where it was like, what we hear about in Revelation isn't so that we can like hide and build bunkers and store up our food. Yeah. And the thing that it said, it was so that we would build longer tables and invite people to come to get to know who Jesus is, knowing that there will be prophecies that will be fulfilled. It should keep us on mission for what we are preparing for, to be the church, to be indwelled, to be full of the Holy Spirit, so that we don't implode and don't crush when these things start to happen, but that we continue our mission as carriers of the gospel to make sure that anybody around me is going to know who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And whether they accept it or not is on them. Right, but they're going to know who he is so that they have the opportunity to come to him. Right. And so anyway, it was just if they don't really know and believe that the prophecies are going to come to pass, then they look and say, well, that's a weird light, you know, and continue on about their day, right. You know, like we got to know these things are, they really believed it so much that they followed it to go meet Jesus. So, you know, I don't want that to be us. Like,
that's a weird light.
That's a strange thing that's happening over there. Let me continue on about my day. Like, no, that's a sign. That's something that I was told to look out for, you know? Anyway.
You know what's interesting about the prophecy? Did you talk about the prophecy of the Old Testament? So where these wise men might remember the scripture?
Are you talking about Micah?
I'm talking about Numbers, the one in Numbers.
Oh, no, I didn't.
So in Numbers, this is what's interesting about this. And again, it's just I don't know what you want to call it, but that, so if you look at Numbers 24:17, this is a guy named Balaam and he's prophesying. He says, I see him, but not now. So I see him, but not now. I behold him, but he's not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. The scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. But here's what's interesting about this. That dude is not a good dude who follows the Lord. He went up on this mountaintop, looks at the nation of Israel, is going to curse the nation of Israel, but the Holy Spirit spoke through him and they actually prophesied about the coming Messiah.
God.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How the Lord works.
That is how the Lord works. Well, you were talking about last week too in the genealogy. Some of those individuals in the genealogy were not good individuals, right? You try, but how the Lord works through it all. That's awesome.
That's so good. So, I mean, even Herod.
Yeah.
Like just a terrible person.
Sure.
But God still accomplishes his purposes through this crazy tyrannical leader.
Mm-hmm.
God fulfilled a prophecy made in the Old Testament. Because of Herod.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen like that.
Yeah.
No, to me, that's more proof of the existence of God.
Right.
So, go ahead.
So, I got a serious question real quick. So, since we're not supposed to, like, hide in our bunkers and stuff like that.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
In Revelation.
I do have a bunker.
Are you saying I need to, like, get rid of all my canned goods that I've stored up in my attic?
Yeah. You should probably give them to people who are hungry now.
Okay. All right. Oh, I was just asking in case anybody doesn't have something to answer.
We got some empty food pantries in South Carolina. Send them to CAC, you know?
Yes, which is Clover Area Assistance Center.
Yes, it is. That's fun. Right, cool. That's funny. So, I haven't really thought about that, but like, yeah.
No, there are actually people that have done that.
Yeah.
We're doing that. That's a real thing.
And I don't want to shame. Fear is a real thing. Yeah. Like, but.
You're not saying that.
God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Exactly. And you want to talk about Old Testament and how he provided every day.
Come on.
Like,
now.
Every day was something fresh for them. So if we believe that Jesus will still do the same thing for us, even in the craziest times, he's going to give us what we need.
Amen.
Man, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jesus. Back on track.
No, you're good. Yeah. So here's what I'm just going to do then.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to just read the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go back through.
I think that's great because I got thoughts on Herod.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
I got some thoughts.
All right. So I'll just start again in verse 3. When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people and asked them where the Messiah would be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they told him, because this is what was written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people, Israel. My goodness, beautiful. Verse 7, then Herod secretly summoned the wise men. Interesting, he did it secretly. Mm-hmm. And asked them the exact time the star would appear. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child. When you find him, report back to me so that I, too, can go and worship him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Got it.
Interesting. After hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star they had seen in the east. It led them until it came and stopped above the place where the child was. Mm. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. Entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country. I'm going to skip around these last few verses, but verse 13, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up. And take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt, I called my son. And then I'm just going to read through verse 18. At the end of it, it talks about how King Herod dies and then another, his son rules. But verse 16 through 18, it says, then Herod, when he saw that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage, and he gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. Then what was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be consoled because they were no more. So...
before you say, I got a pretty cool fact about the gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep. I was going to mention that when we got to the wise man part, but go ahead.
I'm joking. Shelly wants to talk.
She probably, Shelly, like we talked about this before.
Shelly dropped the truth from on me last night. She's like, you cannot steal my fact.
Which is Levi important. And I were doing a little Bible study last night, and here's what's really crazy. We got in bed, and he handed me his Bible. I opened the Bible to Matthew 2. It was mindless.
Perfect.
Anyway, so I was reading and studying or whatever. He gets home from baseball, and I said, I have the coolest fact about gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And he comes in here this morning and says, yeah, he's going to drop that bomb.
No, you heard me wrong. I have another cool fact that goes off of what your fact is.
Come on.
Whatever.
Facts on top of facts.
Marriage. Yeah. That's the picture.
So let's
marriage.
Talk about the wise men and magi first and all of that.
Go for it. I don't have a fact on that.
No, I mean, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Yeah, because that's what they brought. Yes.
So the symbolism behind each gift was really poetic. So gold, the gift of gold to the Christ child was symbolic of his divinity, God in flesh. Frankincense is a symbol of holiness and righteousness. The gift of frankincense to the Christ child was symbolic of his willingness to become a sacrifice, wholly giving himself up
analogous to a burnt offering. Myrrh symbolizes bitterness, suffering, affliction. The baby Jesus would grow to suffer greatly as a man and would pay the ultimate price when he gave his life on the cross for all who would believe in him. So it wasn't just three random obscure gifts. They had a meaning. And honestly, were prophetic.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Very much so.
The other fact was the thing about myrrh, how it represents bitterness and the suffering that Christ will receive. But if you go to Isaiah 60, which is another prophecy, it talks about those gifts, but it leaves out myrrh. So it just says all the people will bring gold and frankincense to Christ, because it's a prophecy about the 1,000-year reign of Christ. Well, we'll bring him gold, which represents that frankincense, but there's no need for myrrh because the bitterness has been
Come on.
Yeah. That is so good.
Isn't that crazy?
I heard another thing about myrrh. Can I share that?
Sure, absolutely.
So to, I guess, kind of tag team with that, that the myrrh specifically would have been used in the embalming process.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for that, the death is done.
Right.
Taken care of.
Yeah.
So that's no beautiful.
No need to embalm
exactly.
a risen.
Exactly.
No yes. need to.
But yes. it's like, so that's the thing. It's like, so this is talking about the 1,000-year reign.
Yeah.
But we will bring him gifts. I think that's really,
that's beautiful.
Again, the Bible just does things.
Yes.
Rise your mind.
Yeah.
You read it and understand it.
No,
it,
I love that.
You know what? I was going to like, what's crazy to me is people can see that in scripture.
Yeah.
Like I listen to other people and read other people's work to get these facts. The Holy Spirit gives it to those people.
Yes.
Like, what in the world?
Like, I know.
How do they find that? That in Isaiah 60 it says this, but in
I want to be a commentary.
Like, man, that's just crazy.
I know. I'm just here sharing all the things I've learned from smarter people, wiser people. But I
that's
mean, really,
point,
I, it is. It is.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna finish Matthew and be like, I'm a theologian. I know the Bible.
Right. No, that's what I said. Like going through this. You know, and we said, like, are we sure you're going to do Matthew? Because it has all these things. And it's like, it's going to blow your mind when you really understand.
Yeah.
And Matthew has so much more prophecy in his gospel than any of the other gospels.
So can I?
The Jewish audience.
Yes. So can I talk about that a little bit? So that's been one of the things I think that I'll take with me forever. Ryan, I don't know if you know this or not, but you actually shared this before
you're
2 years ago. I'm just kidding. I told Ryan what my fact was, and he was like, I said that from the stage 2 years ago. I'm like, oh yeah, I totally remembered. Anyway, but I want to talk about that because Matthew is writing to Jewish people. The pastor I was listening to talk about this, I just love the practical terms that he
was
put
it
in.
That you were listening
it was
to?
My favorite pastor.
Yeah.
By the way, it was a lesser pastor. I'm just kidding. But it's gonna spit his drink out.
His jokes.
No. But the way that he was like, the way that Matthew is trying to say this too is like, hey guys, the things we've been talking about since we were kids, like the things that we grew up hearing about, I'm trying to show you that that is who Jesus is, that he is the fulfillment of all these things that we've heard about. And so basically there's this study that was done where, of course, we have like 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled, that we know that he fulfilled, recorded in scripture. The likelihood of that is off the charts. It's just not likely.
Yeah.
But did it conservatively. Even just one person fulfilling just 8 of the prophecies, just 8 of them, not 56, not 300, just 8, is so unlikely. And so they give the scripture references, and this is for anybody's extra reading. If you want to go look at what the prophecies were, I'll just say, I'm not going to read the verse. I'm going to give you the scripture references. There's Micah 5:2, Malachi 3:1, Zechariah 9:9, Zechariah 13:6, Zechariah 11:12, Zechariah 11:13, and then Isaiah 53:7, and then Psalm 22:16. All of these being hundreds, if not thousands of years, or 1,000 years before Jesus came. So to put that in context, what year will it be 500 years from now? 25?
Yeah.
I don't know anything happening 500 years from now. Like,
no,
unless the
rapture.
Lord, by this afternoon, it'll be rapture.
Yeah.
But we don't know, like, we don't know who any great leaders will be. We don't know how they will be born. We don't know how they'll die. We don't know what they'll do. We don't know they'll go riding in somewhere on a donkey. So if you especially think about things from David, this is the Psalm 22:16. For dogs have compassed me. This is a different version that I have. It's probably King James or something. Have compassed me is what it says. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. And that at that time, crucifixion not even being a thing. Exactly. It was invented by the Romans. So it's like, how do they know pierce my hands and feet? So these prophecies, the likelihood is what smart people would say is one in 10 to the 17th power.
Mm.
So here's how you visualize that. Because what does that mean? I'm like, okay, cool. One to 10 to 17th power.
17
yeah. Which honestly, 17 zeros doesn't feel like a lot. Oh. So when you visualize, like to me, I'm like, okay, what does that even mean? That's not even a real number. Anyway, it says, let's try to visualize this chance. Oh, I'm not going to do the tickets in the hat because that made no sense to me. I'm going to do it with the silver dollar thing that this kind of lays out. Suppose that we take... He did this on stage 2 years ago, and I remembered it.
Yeah.
I've said pretty cool.
Yeah.
Did you remember?
No, cool. Huh? Did you remember? Because we learned that in the apologetic class.
Oh, well, I'm sure. Yes. Yeah. So, suppose we take 10... to the 17th power, silver dollars, and lay them on the face of Texas. They will cover all of the state 2 feet deep. Mm,
yeah.
Which is crazy. Mm, Now mark one of these silver dollars and stir the whole mass thoroughly all over the state. Blindfold a man and tell him that he can travel as far as he wishes, but he must pick up one silver dollar and say that it's the right one. What is the chance that he would have of getting the right one? That's the same chance that the prophets would have of writing these 8 prophecies and having them all come true in any one man.
In any one.
Which is crazy from their day to present the time, providing they wrote using their own wisdom. So unless a God is giving them this insight into what will happen hundreds, if not 1,000 years from now, and it coming true in one man, cover the state of Texas 2 feet deep and say, go pick up a little silver dollar. And that's the one. Like it's just not going to happen. And so that is what Matthew is trying to convey to the Jewish. Like, so that's why he says over and over again, he did this to fulfill.
Right.
Who could do that?
Yeah.
Who could purpose that? Because I think I remember being young and being like, well, couldn't Jesus have been like, or the people around him been like, well, we know that the prophecy is that he'll be born here or that he will ride in on a donkey. So Jesus can say, I'm going to ride in on a donkey. Like, it's just not going to happen in any one person. All of them. Yeah. It can't happen.
So a billion has 9 zeros. Just put it in context.
Oh, that actually does put in context for me.
A trillion has 12 zeros.
Oh, dang.
So, I mean, there's other quadrillion, which is one above trillion. Is 15 zeros. So you can just see, if a billion has 9, and that's the prophecy of just him. Him fulfilling the prophecy.
Eight of them.
And there was not over 300.
And they, so this was done by like several hundred students, even just doing these calculations of what this would be like. And so, I don't know, just the fact that, just the fact that it was just 8 of them. Mm. And they said that they did this this would be conservative. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood is actually likely even more, but it's just that these were conservative numbers.
My God.
So I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah. So that to me, I think is what is sticking out in Matthew and what I think everybody, you need to share with the people in your life. If they can't get around certain things, if they can't understand that the Bible's not just a rule book, which is something like all this kind of stuff, get the numbers in front of them, get the prophecies in front of them. I heard another pastor say that he was like, you're fighting with the wrong, like if you're arguing the case for Christ, you're using the wrong tools. Mm-hmm. Show them the prophecies. Like that that alone is like, okay, now wait a second. You know?
Yeah, something's up.
Yeah. Right?
Also remind you.
Right now he says, there's an amiss afoot. There's an amiss afoot here.
Also reminded too, we it's not a blind faith.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? We don't believe in Christianity just because it was like, oh, this sounds good. This sounds nice. Or this is the nicest one of all. No. Like this is real. Yeah. There's real evidence that backs up what we're saying.
That's a great point because some of the excuses of people is, so I just got to believe. It's just faith.
Right.
No. Faith is not blind. Right. There is evidence to that.
I always love when Park says that where we're instructed, how many times in scripture we're instructed to use our mind. We're told to use our mind, not abandon our mind for the sake of emotions or something. We'd use our mind.
That's one of the reasons, honestly, like I would love to go travel that part of the world just to like see the things that
everybody talks about how it comes to life.
I'm just hope.
But that was interesting. When we talked about it 2 years ago, the church was blown. Their mind was
blown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine was, for sure. I'm sorry, I don't remember you talking about that. So that she forgot. I totally. Well, the Lord wiped my mind clean, so he can blow my mind again. You know?
Yeah, clearly it stuck out.
It was during a
six things over series. Maybe you're on vacation.
That was it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah.
Kelly remembers it, I'm sure.
You're right.
Right.
No, okay. So real quick, since we were not the three,
that's crazy. Yeah, no, that's a crazy. That's
it's insane. Put it in perspective. Yeah, yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So a lot of what you were saying about the gifts, though, to referring to his kingship, to his death, his resurrection, and all these things. But I found it interesting again of how, and I wouldn't hear y'all's thoughts too on how they responded when they actually saw Jesus. And we see this, right? Yes, they brought the gifts, which, by the way, nobody knows how many wise men there were for sure. We assume there were three because there were three gifts brought. Early says tradition has it. However, but entering the house, verse 11, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and falling to their knees, they worshiped him. And then they gave their gifts, the treasures. So I think, you know, an appropriate response, and Ryan, you say this all the time or allude to it, but an appropriate response to knowing truly who, not just a baby, but who King Jesus is, who a king is, you know, gold being brought to someone who was of royalty that was known to happen in that day. Our response to someone in kingship, the one true God, the one true king, should be an act of worship.
Let me ask you this. This is a little just off the text. Mm-hmm. Do you think the Holy Spirit enlightened these wise men to know this is the Christ?
I believe so.
My thing would be, so to piggyback on both of these, you keep telling our church, how are you opening up every service?
Are you prepared to be a blessing to the
Lord?
Are
you prepared to bless the Lord? Are you prepared to be a blessing to the Lord? So when I read this, I think, well, they're magi. That doesn't mean like magicians. They're not like, here's the gold that I've now manufactured. They came. They knew. They had to know. They were ready to present a gift to the king. So that took preparation and they were ready to bless the Lord. So I think they had to know.
What's interesting, the reason I say that is like, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, I don't think human intellect could see. I think it had to come from the Holy Spirit because they're also not looking for a child. Mm-hmm. Like, they're looking for a king. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a ruler. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about these men, but we know Israel's looking for someone to take them out of the Roman control. Mm-hmm. But it's a child. Mm-hmm. And that's what stuck out to me the most. When they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped.
Well, I mean, what would it be like? I mean, just pure perfection of not just a baby, but God in flesh. Like, there had to... How do we feel the Holy Spirit knowing that Jesus' presence is with us, but like to see him in the flesh? I can only imagine the glory.
I go the opposite, around. Just to be honest with you, because like, again, to wrap your mind around, wait, this is God, but he can't take care of himself. Mm-hmm. Like, he relies on Mary to feed him, to bathe him, to change him, but they still worship him.
Right.
That doesn't, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't click.
Other than just, I mean, because it says... In the beginning, I mean, it's like they, in some respects, they had to know because they knew that Jesus had been born. So he's got to be, of course, they know they're going to, which at this point, for someone that I was listening to, I don't know where they got that from, but he's like two years old. Yeah, at this point. Yeah.
Later, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the thing that I heard was he was like 2 years old. But I mean, so yeah, I think it's probably certainly a juxtaposition. Well, it's like he's not a man that they're bowing down for.
My notes say the Magi did not visit Jesus at the manger on the night of his birth, as did the shepherds. They came Luke some months later, visited him as a child in his house.
Exactly. And so, but to your point, even still, if he was, let's say he was even 5 or 6, he still can't 13, take care of himself.
Yeah,
right.
It's exactly. Like, he's not a man. Yeah.
Judah running around.
And you just fall down.
But that's my, it was definitely the Holy Spirit that, you know, revealed to them because, I'm like, wow, you still fell down and worship, like you said.
That's why I think that about even our students. Knowing. That's why, like, you know, they're, of course, in all of their feels and emotions, everything like that. But what 13-year-old wants to worship the Lord, like, that wants to fall down and, you know, give their whole, like, that only happens by the Holy Spirit. 13-year-olds know everything. You know what I mean? Like, our teenagers, whatever, 14, 16, and like, it has to be the Holy Spirit. Yeah. It makes you fall down and worship in front of a baby.
It just shows, again, the humility of God, the purpose of Christ when he comes, again, as a baby. Yeah. Like, we know this because we celebrate Christmas, but at the same time, think about he's being worshipped by angels and then goes to have to be cared for by a teenage woman, Mary. Mm. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of the Lord.
It is right.
The humility of the Lord.
It is beautiful.
Amen.
Another thing I had heard, it's kind of like a semantics thing, but it is practical for us. And so they came prepared to be a blessing to the Lord, to bless him. And the way I heard this one part was they had the most appropriate response to Jesus. And it was worship and generosity. Just take it all. Just have it all. And then when it continues on in verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country a different way. Mm-hmm. And that was just like a little practical semantics kind of thing that don't we all encounter Jesus and then leave a different way? And I thought that's Jesus. It's beautiful.
Well, and that's
a good point.
Yeah, that really is. And I think that's the difference between someone who says they have encountered Jesus, who has truly encountered Jesus, versus someone who says, yeah, I know Jesus, but they haven't left change. Kind of like you said last week, where Matthew left change after he truly met Jesus. But the same offer was given to the rich man. He did not do it. Mm-hmm. So when you truly meet Jesus, it changed. You cannot meet the Son of God, Son of the living God, and not be changed.
Yeah.
It just does not happen.
Yeah.
So anyway, just to think about, again, not that it brings much meaning. I just wonder, it's how my brain works. Like, who has shared these events to Matthew? Was it Mary? Was it Christ through
whenever they were all together?
But Mary told Jesus, here's what happened. I just want, because when they saw child with Mary, they fell down and worshiped him. I don't know. I just wonder, like, that language. I would just be interested to know. How did
I'm certain that plays a part. I'm certain that plays a part in Luke. You know, a lot of the stuff was shared with Luke, and he was giving accounts of what had been shared with him. So I'm certain some of that plays a part in that, but that's a good question.
Yeah, that part sticks with me from The Chosen, like how they were like opening episodes on one season, or maybe it was all the seasons, but where it's basically like the disciples, like a dark, cold, rainy night, and they're like, tell me everything, you know, like tell me what happened. That's kind of how I envision it. Just all the different perspectives and stories coming to Matthew, and then he compiles them all for, you know, the Jewish people.
That's good.
Interesting to think about. Put yourself in the text. Like, who told Matthew these things?
That's good.
I mean, Jesus very well could have.
I know.
I mean, though he was a baby, he was still God. I mean, he's not, he doesn't have the mind of an infant. I mean, he does and he doesn't, you know, when he's older, he can be like, no, that was me. And this is what happened. And
at 12 years old in the temple, he said, I had to be about my father's business.
Yeah.
You know, he was astounding the leaders.
Yeah.
Who is this cat?
Yeah.
For sure. Well, kid, but cat. So, okay. Well, anybody else have any other thoughts on, you know, how they responded to him when they entered? Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just that, again, not only did they fall down and worship, but they gave. They had something to offer, you know. And again, that just points to our worship. There is a sacrifice. There is an offering that we give to the Lord. Obviously, these are physical with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But at the same time, they came prepared to give an offering to the one that they want to worship.
Well, and it, like we talk about the juxtaposition of things, or just the opposite thing that's happening. So very opposite of Herod, who is clinging to this throne for his life, will kill anyone in his way. And these people come, just take it all, Lord. Just take whatever you want. Have it all.
A different throne.
They're different. Yes. Yes.
Exactly. Which, Ryan, you made me just think about the offerings we give, right? Romans 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to discern the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. So to we ourselves, it's our life. Give it over to you, Lord. Right.
I think the thing I'm taking away from this particular passage, and I've thought about this for a long time, so I think it's funny to kind of see a reflection of it in the scripture. And, you know, growing up, okay, not in the church, but then going to church, accepting Jesus, at 13. It does make me wonder sometimes when we're dealing with people who don't know Jesus or who are just coming to Jesus. Sometimes I wonder if there is that, like, I know that Jesus said it when he's like, take up your cross and things like that. But I do think we emphasize, or sometimes I wonder, and I've caught myself doing it, emphasize so much how hard it is to follow Jesus and like what he might want from you or what he might take from you. When what I've actually come to find, I feel like it's actually healed this thinking in me, is that every time Jesus has actually asked me to do something hard, because I'm empowered by his Holy Spirit, it doesn't feel as hard. So sometimes I think it's like Herod, mm-hmm. like I've been like Herod, not in cruelty or anything like that, but just in, don't take this from me. And don't, like, I think sometimes we might do people a disservice making them think that Jesus just wants to come to, well, if you follow Jesus, you got to give up that car. You got to give up your bank account. He's going to move you to Africa to be a missionary. I don't think he's after that. Mm-hmm. I think if he's after that, he will also give you the grace in that moment to do it. It will actually, I feel like things that I can look back and say, that would have been hard in my own effort, mm-hmm. but he prepared me and he actually made it a joy. Right. So I think we do a better service to be able to understand the only thing he's coming to take from you is your sin mm-hmm. and the penalty of sin mm-hmm. and the shame of sin. Mm-hmm. And the sin that comes in actually, which Ryan, you do a great job at this of describing the fact that sin is the thing that destroys us, that thing that we think that we love, it's actually destroying us. And God has so much love for us that that's what he came to take, is a thing that destroys the bearers of his image. And so I think that has been a real journey for me. I mean, even still, sometimes I'm still scared. I'm like, do I love my family too much, God? And you're going to come take them from me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and the reality is if any of their time came, he would give me the, I mean, kind of gut me, but he would give me the grace in that moment to continue on and the faith. But, and so I'm just always so scared of what he's coming to take from me. And I need a continual renewed image of, he just wants to come take the things that evil has stolen from me. He comes to restore and give life abundantly. And anyway, those are some of my thoughts.
Well, also to have a holy perspective about it from somebody who has lived that worst case scenario.
Yes.
I've talked about my dad a lot. I think he's part of the testimony that I'll share until I die.
Yes, but, of course.
You know, having had a godly example and a father who was taken much too young.
Yeah.
I can remember saying to him, I don't know what I'll do if you die. I can't imagine it. Mm-hmm. And I was a college student at the time. And I remember thinking, like, we could see that it was probably near the end. And I remember thinking, I don't know how I'm going to finish my last year of school. I'm going to have to quit my job. I thought my life was over.
Yeah.
And yet I could not see, and this is a story for everybody, I couldn't see the grace, the future mm-hmm. grace. I couldn't see the grace that was going to carry me mm-hmm. through giving a eulogy, mm-hmm. watching, you know, my sister at 14 lose a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, what felt to me like the worst possible scenario ended up being an avenue for me to see the Lord.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. And yeah, we think of that worst case scenario all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I live in impending doom. Like, the other shoe is about to drop all the time for me. And yet I discount the grace that, mm-hmm. okay, say the worst case scenario happens again. I don't know the grace that's going to meet me there. I don't know the love and the compassion and the closeness and nearness of a savior and a shepherd who's going to meet me in that worst case mm-hmm. scenario. Could it be my biggest blessing mm-hmm. to lose that thing?
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do know. Thanks for sharing that, Shelley. I know the heart behind it is like, hey, count the cost.
Yeah.
Like, count the cost. So I know the heart behind it, but I do think we do a disservice when it's like, maybe before it's time. It's like, just introduce people to Jesus first. Let them get to know who he is and understand that he's not here to take from you the thing that you love the most.
Yeah.
He's here to take away things that make you less like him.
Yeah.
And then when those terrible things happen, mm-hmm. I heard somebody say this too, when you're talking about the biggest blessing, like when people are like, well, he's going to take my car. He's going to take my platform. He's like, what if he actually just wants to redeem that?
Yeah.
And now you use that money. It's not that he wants to come empty your bank account. Mm-hmm. What if he wants you to use your money for the kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like just having a different perspective that mm-hmm. he's always here to take. Mm-hmm. And that picking up my cross means I get nothing. The reality is following Jesus, it is like that, but it becomes your joy.
Right.
It's take it all.
That's the difference.
But you got to know him first.
Yes. Yes.
And you got to know his infinite worth. And so I don't think we necessarily have to prepare new Christians all the time with like, this is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done.
Right.
It is hard, but he gives some, we can't calculate the grace.
Yeah. And the spiritual blessings mean far more than anything else.
I love
that. Part of that goes back to what, you preached on in Ephesians 1 a couple of weeks ago. God is the greatest gift we can God himself is the greatest gift we can receive.
Yes.
And so when we understand that, that changes everything. And, and what we want to hold on to and what we want to let go. And yes, by the power of his Holy Spirit, he helps us get to that place.
Yeah.
He's so loving and kind and gentle and patient with us. Mm-hmm. He helps us get to that place. But whatever might be taken away or redeemed, it's going to be for our good and for his glory.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12 even talks about that. Even when how he disciplines those he loves so that we might share in his holiness. Mm-hmm. And to be able to say we can share in his holiness, and it also talks about how if you are disciplined by him, it's because he loves you as children, which then the verse says, we're not illegitimate children. Like to be a child of God is a huge blessing. And so it's like, wow, okay, God, I get it. Even though this might be hard, we can look back and be like, wow, thank you for all the no's. Mm-hmm. And thank you for all the yeses, you know? So, good point, Sally. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about, I know somebody mentioned something about Herod as well just a second ago. Let's go ahead because I don't know how much longer we have.
That was kind of my thing on Herod. How I feel like I have identified with him a lot. Mm. Like, don't take this from me, God.
Right, I see what you're saying.
And everything suffers. Right. I think when you are holding on to something very tightly, the way he killed his own family to make sure nobody would get, and then, the wreckage around him was great. And I think that's worth saying that when we are trying to protect something so tightly that God won't take from us, a lot of people get hurt and ourselves included. And we're also missing out on the blessing of being more like the Magi and take it all.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Well, I think that's wonderful. And I think that is, Sally, as you pointed out, for those of us who are Christ followers, for those of us who are believers, the Holy Spirit does work and he convicts us of sin.
Yeah.
He also convicts us of righteousness, as the word says, too. So thank God we have the Holy Spirit that helps us and helps us conform us to the image of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it does. He's faithful to help us identify some of those things that we see in ourselves. And he does that through scripture as well. So with Herod, it's interesting. So in verse 3, it says, when King Herod heard that, other people wanted to come and worship this king, Jesus, clearly he's jealous of that because he wants to be the one to be worshiped, right? Mm-hmm. This worship now is going to be taken away from him and be put on someone else. And then in verse 7, it says, then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time. We see sin always leads to secrecy, right?
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yep, always keeps things in the secret. We know good and well he did not want to worship this baby as he told the Magi or the wise men. He wanted to kill the baby, and we see that truly revealed later.
So it leads to lies.
Right, exactly. Leads to lies and deception, which is interesting. We've said this before too, but God through time is a revealer.
Yeah.
So through time, God revealed what was truly in that man's heart. He did not want to worship.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be worshiped, so much so that he was willing to kill children to continue to have what he wanted and hold on to. And so this is none of us would ever say we're like, man, we're going to so far to kill babies to hold on what we have and not give it over. But it is a reminder to be like, hey, think about some of those things in our lives, some of those fears we have.
Yeah.
Some of those insecurities we have. Take stock in that. Think about that and bring it before the Lord. Ask God to search our hearts and know us, see if there be any wicked way in us, and then lead us in the path of everlasting so that we can give those things over to God. Because if those things aren't put in check, it can lead to some devastation. It might not be to the extent of King Herod, but it can. And I've seen this in my own life over the years. I remember when I was 21 and I remember somebody got promoted in a certain area. And I was like, well, what about me?
Mm-hmm.
And all this goofy stuff. I look back, I should have been rejoicing with those mm-hmm. who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. That was foolish. That was, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That was my jealousy of my own heart. And
being
and
self-consumed.
So,
yeah,
exactly.
What you see here.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And so that can lead to other things that's just not good for your life. So we all sin, and we all sin differently. But and over time, he makes us more like Christ. So I'm not the man who I was 5 years ago. We're not the people who we were 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But he's still growing us. And mm-hmm. so I just want to encourage people not to allow shame or guilt to, you know, fill you, but to, if you have fears or insecurities, you know, just be naked before the Lord. Yeah. He already knows. He's already aware. He knows you better than we do. Sometimes we like to hide.
Mm.
He already knows. Be honest. Say, I'm jealous over there, or I'm dealing with this. Lord, help me.
Mm.
And so that we can be more pure and holy mm-hmm. in our actions.
That's good.
Bring it out of the darkness too.
Yes.
Yes.
Again, go back to the theme of darkness and light, the contrast. Bring the sin out of the darkness.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Put in the light.
That's mm-hmm. it. That's it. I thought this was cool. I was reading over this, and I wrote this a couple of years ago when reading Matthew.
Is this a rap?
Huh? No, it's just a contrast.
Yeah. You need what a missed opportunity.
It's just a contrast.
Drop that beat.
I'm
Andrew,
sorry.
Drop that beat.
I didn't mean to derail you. I'm very excited.
I looked at my notes. I think I wrote this back in 2017.
I'm excited to hear
it. It's a contrast between Herod, who was a king, and Jesus, the true king.
Mm-hmm.
It says, one was over the land, yet one ruled over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
One operated in lies, one embodied truth. One was very prideful, the other humble. One wanting all the worship versus the one who truly deserved all the worship. One a murderer and taker of life, the other the author and giver of life.
That's good.
One who walked in fear, driven by fear, versus one who feared the Lord and did no evil. And there's other things I'm sure that you guys can bring out
and point out.
Bars.
Things that you guys could bring out and point out, or a contrast. I always love contrast. Just being able to see a stark difference.
Yep, me too.
In things. And so
that's so good, Brandon.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Really, that's good.
And that's the beginning of our Savior's life. He's like a little baby against this terrified king. And we get to see what his kingdom is really like. And gosh, it makes me want to be a better ambassador for the kingdom. I hope that the way that I live my life doesn't actually mirror more of Herod's kingdom than Jesus's.
I'm
not trying to go around murdering anybody, but Jesus said murders in your heart if you have anger.
That's good. Yeah.
Like,
that's good.
So it's like, you know, I hope that's what Matthew does for us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a crazy world right now.
Yeah.
And are we living like we are a part of that kingdom that you described in Jesus?
That's good.
Yeah. I hope I want to be better at it.
Well,
we have a lineage.
Yes.
What lineage are you living under?
Yeah. That's so good. What king? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What king? You know, what's interesting. I'm sorry that I'm done. I don't know if anybody else has anything to say, but King Herod was a part of helping renovate and expand the Second Temple, you know, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah. Is to think about that King Herod the Great played a part in that, but also a lot of the remains to this day, like if we were to go over now, which that's what I want to do next year. That's why I got excited. Darn general. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway,
that'd be beautiful.
But to know that this individual, some of the remains that are there today that you can physically see was built by this man,
mm-hmm.
but he played a part in renovating and expanding the Second Temple, which is a reminder. You can do things of godly appearance.
Dang.
But deny its power. Mm. You know what I mean?
He did that so that they would think Herod the Great. He got the title because of that by the Jews.
Right.
So he wanted worship.
Right. But it for me, was just another reflection of you can be a part of something, even if you have the wrong motives.
Partake in it, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Where people truly did go and worship the one true God, the one true King.
Dang.
He played a part in that. But he did not know Christ. No. And so it's just like, you could be a part of a church and the church not being you. You can profess Christ with your lips and your heart be far from him. And if all of the prophecies, well, these prophecies, 330 that have already been filled and the ones still to come, I think is altogether like 400 something. I can't remember some more to be fulfilled. The point is, if the other ones were already fulfilled, that means the other ones will be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And are we going to be on his side or on the other?
Mm-hmm.
And this is real stuff.
It is.
And I just, to think of what King Herod faced when he took his last breath,
yeah,
that is a scary thing.
Yeah.
So may our hearts be pure before the Lord and found in Christ.
Amen.
Who washes away our sin.
Thank you, Vernon. Yeah. Wow, thanks for leading this conversation.
Amen.
Man, this was awesome. I'm going to be thinking about this for a long time. I'm excited. I know we're like only in chapter 2, but this is going to be a great study, however long it takes. Who knows?
Can't wait.
But yeah, Shelly, thank you. Thanks you for your heart, your brain.
Thanks for having me.
I cannot wait till you're back. A month from now, I'll be counting down the days. That'll be so exciting. We'll get to hear more in depth about your messages there, which I'm so excited about. Vernon, thank you. Ryan, thank you. We are off next week.
Sally, thank you.
Oh, yes, thank you. We're off next week. We're taking a little break. When we come back, Alex is back. We hope and pray.
Alejandro.
You know?
I talked to him yesterday.
Yay. I'm excited about that. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you're encouraged. Be blessed. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Be blessed.
Okay, be blessed.
Thanks for listening to the Overflow Podcast of New River Church, where we seek to provide authentic, practical, biblical encouragement beyond Sunday services. We hope you enjoyed this conversation, and if you'd like to learn more about New River, please visit us online at newriver.church or join us in person on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. We'll talk to you next week, same time, same place. May God cover you with his goodness and grace, and may Jesus always be enough.